Ecclesiastes. That's a fun passage, isn't it? Injustice. That's what Paul saw, the Koheleth. Remember that word, Koheleth, the teacher, the preacher, author of this book, is preaching on. Injustice. And it's one of the most challenging realities we face in our current life. We see oppression. We see corruption. We see wrongdoing. And it seems unchecked. And this can even shake our faith. It could cause us to ask, where's God? In all of this, where's God? But isn't that what the Koheleth, Solomon, has been doing this whole time? Megan has asked these deep questions. Where is God in this broken world? What's the point of all of this? And Solomon's wrestling with this issue. And so the first thing he does, and I think this is interesting. This is, if this is Solomon, that means he's on the top of the food chain. In the time when Israel is at its golden age, they've got more money, they got more power, trade routes are soaring, they're at peace-ish with their neighbors. And he's sitting at the top, and he says, if you see in a province the oppression of the poor, don't be surprised. And he's at the top, looking down, saying, you know what? Power structures, whether they're government-based, whether they're business, whether even religious institutions, they could become breeding grounds for oppression and corruption. Why? Because wherever there is power, a place of power, corrupt people will seek to gain power. And power corrupts. In one of my favorite books, The Lord of the Rings, as we know it in my household as The Good News of Tolkien, I know, I'm being heretical, I know. Tolkien is one of my favorite authors. In The Lord of the Rings, he writes about a ring, and it represents power in it. And if you've never seen the movies or read the books, I'm sorry, that's your loss. But in this book, the rings, this ring represents power, and they're trying to destroy the ring that rules over all, but it corrupts everyone that wears it. Because no one is free from the corruption of power. And that's true about all of us, isn't it? When you gain power, because the only people that come, oh, I wouldn't be corrupt if I had power until we have power. And it corrupts. Power does something to people. That's why we're supposed to be getting checked by other people around us. And unfortunately, in some of our society, systems that are supposed to benefit everybody and power checks and balances can sometimes be places where corruption just keeps corruption. Now, we know in this passage he uses the word province, which means in a Hebrew, that's a Hebrew that it's a judicial court. So he is specifically talking at this moment about corruption in the government, which I found hilarious because who's at the very top of the government? He is! And he looks down and he says, there's corruption here. In this world of, he's at a time of bureaucracy has over as, there's, when we talk about the golden age, well, I remember in my seminary class, we're talking about the benefits of the golden age of Israel and all these good things happened, but then there were some negative things. And one of the negative things that came during this time period was bureaucracy. which leads to corruption and oppression. And things, places where people who are supposed to oversee justice were watching out for their own interest instead. And they were supposed to be watching out for those who had no power and seeking justice for all. Instead, it became justice for few. And Solomon acknowledges that in this kind of less than perfect world, broken world, corruption happens. It's true today. It's true then. It was true before the Koheleth was teaching. Injustice and economics and politics, oppression. The reality is it exists. And it's natural because when we see injustice, we're like, God, aren't you good? Why are you allowing this to happen, God? And it's not new for us to ask that question, even in like Psalm 73. The author of Psalm 73, he's struggling with this very question. He says, but as for me, my feet almost stumbled. I almost stumbled. He's talking about his walk with God. I almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. I almost fell off because I envied the boast when I saw the well-being of the wicked. I saw these wicked people getting all these good things. It seemed like all this good stuff happened to bad people. And I'm like, what about me? I'm behaving. What about me? Why are they being blessed? Anyone in this room felt that way? Don't raise your hand. It'd be all right. You know, I had this conversation with someone just the other day. They were asking why, when they had never smoked, they had never drank, they were always good all their life, and yet they have cancer. And they looked at these other people who were smoking and drinking and carrying on, and they didn't have cancer. And when we witness oppression, when we witness things happening, we may wonder, is God really in control? Does he really care about justice? Why doesn't he intervene? And philosophers have argued, and they've made this argument that we must either choose between God being all-powerful or God being all-good. Because they suggest that God can't be both in a world that evil exists. And we know evil exists. But the scriptures rejects that kind of thinking. They said that's a false choice. It's a false choice. You're offering something that's not how it works. Evil does exist, absolutely. But God is still sovereign and he's still good. The problem is not with God's power. The problem is not with God's control. The problem is with our character. The problem is because we are sinful. We're the problem. And it's not just us individually, because it's easy to get caught up in our own individual sins, right? Because we can see those, right? I got a problem with greed, or I got a problem with anger, I got a problem with lust, or I got a problem. But we have problems as society. We got problems. We sin. Society sins. And in the scriptures, there is room for places where they talk about societal sins, where the society has accepted something as true that is sinful against God. And so we as a society have to ask ourselves, are we doing justice? Because we're the problem. And if we allow, excuse me, if we allow the presence of injustice to blind us to the presence of God, it risks despair. It risks falling away, slipping, as Psalm 73 said. But if we trust that God is greater, then there's hope. We find hope even in a world that is broken because we broke it. So how do we respond to the reality that injustice does exist? Well, the first thing is we have to acknowledge that it is a broken world. Now, some of you, I know I've heard this from some of you. Well, if we would just go back to like it was in the 90s or the 80s or the 70s or the 50s. Do I have any 30s in here? Whatever era it was better for you. I know I've heard this argument. If we would just, it's not, that's not how it worked. It wasn't better then. It was still a broken world. We did have one thing going for you back then that you didn't, that we've got now, is one, you didn't hear about it back then. Do you know every year there's a survey taken and they ask people, are you safer this year than last year? And every year that that survey has said, has come back, we are less safe than we were last year. Every year. Do you know the crime rate has gone down every year? So our perception of our security is a lie. We feel like we're less safe, but we're actually more safe than we've ever been before. Why? Because we hear about it. We hear, our brains are not meant to be constantly bombarded by all this negativity. Social media, the newspaper, and radio, whatever it is you do, they know that fear sells. And we're not meant to be bombarded with it. I mean, all of a sudden, we've got problems in our backyard. Plus, we've got problems in Taiwan. And we got to hear about the earthquake that happened. And it just seems like it's too much. And reality is, we do live in a broken world. Injustice does happen. It's a common reality. That doesn't mean we accept it as good, but we have to acknowledge that it does exist. Even in our newspapers, that corruption exists. Sin has affected every part of humanity, our personal lives, our societal lives. Sin has affected it. We can't just say it's a me problem. Because isn't that what we often do? Well, it's me and God. We'll work out our problems. We got society issues. And every choice you make affects society as a whole. We'll take pornography. I know pornography is, some of you are like, I don't deal with that. But I can say that enough of you do to make pornography a bit more a larger industry than basketball, baseball, hockey, and football combined. So, and the statistics show that it's just as big a problem out of the church as it is in the church. So we'll use this as an example, because enough of you will know. You take pornography, you're like, well, it's just me and my computer and God that I need to worry about this. But every time you click, you are saying yes to a bigger societal problem. And you are saying yes, that this is okay. You are growing a societal issue. And you are approving of it. So it's not just you and your computer. It's you, your computer, and everyone else in this room. And it has, the sin has affected every aspect of our society. Jesus himself says, in this world, you will have trouble. In John 16, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. But then there's the promise. He's come to overcome. And so we should not be shocked by the corruption, nor should we be indifferent to it. We must seek justice because Jesus has come to overcome. And if Jesus is our guiding light, if we are walking in his path, if the Holy Spirit is living within us, he is our guide. So we should seek justice while trusting that God is the ultimate justice. Solomon presents this justice, injustice being a reality, but the Bible never tells us to be passive and not face injustice. In fact, like Micah 6:8, I'll tell you what, if you've not memorized Micah 6:8, this is just one of those passages. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Act justly. It didn't say act unjustly. Act justly. Isaiah 1:17. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless, the widowed. You know why in Scripture it's the widowed and the orphan that are so talked about? It's because those are the people at that time in that society that had no voice. Now, in our society, widows have quite a bit of voice still. It's about the people that have no voice. Be the voice for the people that have no voice. And so we must remember, ultimate justice belongs to God. Even though we seek it. Even if justice is delayed. Because a lot of times we get caught up in my way, my plan, my timetable. Not just in this, we do that in all kinds of areas of our life, don't we? God, you ain't acting the way you're supposed to be acting. I prayed for this, and you're supposed to be. Mm-mm. And God's saying, you know what, I got a plan. I'm going to work it out. And justice may be delayed, but all will be held accountable. So as we know injustice exists, we seek justice, we must continue to worship God even when we don't understand what's going on. Because it's true. Oppression can hinder true worship. And when we get too focused on injustice, we can begin to doubt. But you know what? God's bigger than your doubts. He can handle them. You're not a horrible person if you doubt it. Some of you feel like, I've had my doubts, and you're like, I'm just means I'm no good. You know what? God is bigger than that. You know, one of my favorite disciples is the one who says, you know what? We call him Doubting Thomas. I said, he's not Doubting Thomas. He's just looking for some proof Thomas. He's a show me Thomas. He's me. I need to see some evidence. And so I'm thankful for Doubting Thomas, because now I can see what he saw. He was the one who said, show me. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to show you. So I can trust his words. And when we focus on so much, it can bring doubt. But God's big enough to handle your doubt. But we must enter into God's presence and be reminded of his eternal justice. If we continue to read in Psalm 73, verse 17, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end. I was worried about all these people that I saw getting all this good stuff. Then I entered into the sanctuary of God. Then I saw they're going to get theirs in the end. But it's not on my timetable. I'm going to continue to push for justice. I'm going to continue to fight for justice. But in the world, I know we're never going to get rid of injustice because we're living in a corrupt, broken society until God makes it all right in the end. True worship shifts our focus from the injustice to the world of justice that God has created, even when we don't understand His timing. We know we can trust His character. And injustice is real. And it challenges our faith. But Solomon, Asaph, the writer of Psalm 73, Jesus, they all point to the same truth. We are called to seek justice for those who have no voice and continue to worship God even in the face of injustice that will prevail. So when you feel overwhelmed by the injustice around you, remember God sees. If you're coming to our Tuesday night classes where we're going through the book of Genesis, we're almost to one of my favorite names of God, given to by Hagar to God, the God who sees me. And I love that name of God, the God who sees me. It reminds us that God does see. Sometimes we feel like God is void and absent, but He sees. He sees me. He sees the outcries. He hears the cries of the brethren. He hears. God knows, and He will act. Maybe not when I want Him to. Maybe not the way I think He should. But He will act. So let us live with the faith and the courage to keep trusting God, seeking His justice, His righteousness in the midst of a broken world. So as we think about this passage, we start thinking about next steps. We have to ask ourselves some hard questions. We don't get no ABCs from the Koheleth. Some of you are already thinking, I think we should move to a different book, something a little easier. Because this book don't give you no ABCs. It makes you ask questions like, how? When you've either faced injustice for yourself, or you've seen it in the friend or your brethren or your brother or your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, and you've seen injustice happening, how do you process it? We have to ask questions like, how can we balance seeking justice in a world? Because we need to do that. And also trusting in God's ultimate timing and His ultimate justice. We have to wrestle with that. There ain't no ABC there, is there? That's something we have to wrestle with. We have to ask ourselves, what does it mean for us to personally worship God even when we don't understand His timing or His plan? That's a tough one, isn't it? We have to ask ourselves, if we're reading this passage, we have to ask ourselves, how can we, Laughlin Community Church, be a voice for justice without losing sight of the gospel? Because you've seen some churches lose sight of the gospel for the sake of seeking justice. They become known for what they're against, right? And Christians aren't supposed to be known for what they're against. Whatever your cause is, anti-anything, we're supposed to be known for our love. Love of God, love of our neighbor. So how do we balance that? How do we be a voice of justice? Not losing sight of the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to wrestle with these questions. Koheleth is good about this, making us think, making us work for it. So we begin that process today. Father God, Lord, I pray that we may hold fast to you.